Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dane O'Neill. We do not welcome Paddo this week because, unfortunately, he's had some really tough family issues and something's gone on there, so he can't join us this week, but we've assembled an all-star cast to try and fill in the massive, massive, massive shoes that Paddo has. So, first of all, welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains on debut. It's Peter from the Nerds for Life Supercoach and also one of our multiple Supercoach weekly group winners from last year. Welcome, Peter.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. Now I don't have to listen to the show this week because I'm in the show. So this is interesting. I'm pumped. Thanks for having me.
No dramas. Now, we went and tweeted and put up on Facebook that it was just you this week, Peter, but because the Supercoach community is so good, I got a direct message saying, hey, when are you recording your podcast? And you know what? Because this bloke is a very good friend of the show, I had to get him on, especially for Paddo. And that's Damo, co-host of the Footy Mailbag, featured in Code Sports and whatnot, and just a good old friend of the podcast. Welcome, Damo.
It's great to be here. Yeah, the show had to go on and unfortunate news for Paddo there, and thoughts are with him. But let's get some Supercoach talk into the ears of your listeners, and hopefully we can help him through this week. And Paddo's back stronger than ever when he's ready to come back.
Yeah, agreed. We'll start off with this week's weekly group winner, who actually doesn't need our help, apparently, and that's Ian and his team at Nate's Caddies with a massive score of 2,176. So he had the likes of Sheezel, Dacos, and Yo in defense. That's pretty bloody good. Butters, Bontepelli, Raoul, LDU owner in midfield. The twin towers of Grundy and Cherry up in the rucks. I think the lowest was like 140 odd there. And then Heaney, Flanders, and Harley Reid up forward, all while having Shea Bolton not playing. And I know, Peter, you love yourself a bit of Shea Bolton, don't you?
Yeah, he gets me excited, very excited. But also gets me very frustrated as a Richmond fan too. It's like it's a mixed emotions.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on to the injuries and suspensions. This one I'm actually going to delve into a little bit. So we're going to start off with my Giants boys, Toby Green and Jesse Hogan. So Toby Green, 1 week suspension for marking contest gone wrong off put down. They're challenging that. And Jesse Hogan, 1 week for wiping a tear off of Young's face to be challenged as well. What are your thoughts on those two boys? Damo, we'll go with you.
I haven't seen the Toby Green one, but I know marking contests, they'll argue after slowing it down to about 0.2 times speed that he could have turned his body and done a backflip and and high-five someone in the crowd before he took the ball. So I don't know about that one. The Jesse Hogan one, sort of, it was late reaction from Lewis Young when he realized what had happened. And I know, I haven't been punched in the face all that often, but believe it or not, but when you punch someone, you'd usually react a lot quicker than the way Lewis Young did.
And they also usually have a closed fist too, not a bitch slap.
That's true as well.
I personally think that Hogan will get off with a fine and Green will get suspended, and that suspension will get upheld by 1 week. Peter, what do you reckon with those two?
I think with Green's history, he probably will cop the 1 week. Hogan doesn't really have a history of slapping people, so I reckon he'll get off.
Yeah. This one's going to be Paddo's favourite one because I'm sure he's going to listen in this week just to hear what the fuck's going on. Tom Barrass, 1 week dangerous tackle to be challenged, and Paddo will definitely want him to get off any day, mate.
I I don't think the tackle was as dangerous. We've seen tackles like that throughout the year not get cited by the MRO at all. So it's pretty interesting that this one has been cited at all. I reckon he will probably get off, even if it's just the same defense that Charlie Cameron used last week.
Yeah, yeah. It was just a sensual massage. That's all it was. A little bit of flips and shit in there too. Yes. Now, I'm going to flick this one to you, Damo, because just before we got on recording of the podcast, you sent me a tweet about this. So Hayden Young, he came off the field for about 26 minutes, didn't finish out the game. What have you heard?
Ryan Daniels tweeted at about 2:45 p.m. local time, Perth time. Hayden Young will be good to go on Saturday night. He was just aware of his hamstrings on the weekend.
Sorry.
I've been aware of my hamstrings for quite some time too.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, he spent 26 minutes on the bench with a mild hamstring awareness, so he was just very aware that he had hamstrings.
What is he, 24 years old now?
A bit younger than that, I think, actually.
Bit younger than that. Yeah. It's not as bad. They're 22, I suppose. That's fine.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm 30, so maybe I worked out that I had hamstrings at 22 too. I can't remember.
Oh, shit. Tom Stewart, concussion. Maybe that's what Hayden Young had, trying to find his hamstrings and realizing that they were there. Tom Stewart, concussion. So he'll miss the game against Carlton. Peter, how kissed on the dick is Carlton? First Sam Taylor missing their clash with Carlton, and now Tom Stewart missing their clash with Carlton.
Anyone that is held on to Mackay is they are excited for this game, because I think anyone that has Mackay and Kerno still, they're going to love it, because those two could go big against Geelong without, you know, Tommy Stewart intercepting those inside 50s. So I think my brother's got him, and he's going to be he might even put a sneaky. Hey, did they play early in the round?
Oh, I cannot remember. Damo, what are your thoughts on this one?
So it's Sam Taylor, concussion.
Yep.
Tom Stewart, concussion.
Yep.
Are we seeing brown paper bags put into players' lockers? Is there something going on here?
If something happens, whoever freaking Carlton play after Geelong, if their key defender is out with concussion as well or something, then there's something seriously... It can't be a sheer coincidence. Two times is just unlucky. Three times, though, nah. Something going on that's dodge. Anyway,
Just thought I'd point it out.
yeah, that's what I mean. It's just a little bit dodge. Also,
it'd
dodge.
It'd be Darcy Moore next week.
Oh, no, they're better off him playing. Zach Williams. He came off with an Achilles, got subbed off, but it was more like a corky or whatever. So he's listed as a test this week. And then I've also got down Biggie Newen. He came off for a bit. People were shitting themselves that brought him in early, myself included. But then he returned to the field and he should be fine. Peter, what have you got with Biggie or Zachy?
More Zach Williams. I've been asked this a couple of times on Twitter and I have seen people debating it. His BE is pretty high now. Well, not high. I think it's about 62. Do you think it's worth keeping him even if he does play? Because he's not going to make us too much more money at this point. If you're keeping him, you're keeping him for that 80 to 90 score that you think that he might get in Saad's absence. So are you guys thinking you might want to hold on to him? Because I'm considering it without Saad. But also, it's a lot of cash that else.
Yeah, look, Damo and I have already kind of discussed the, what shall we call it, Damo, the lack of downgrade options at the moment in defense. And I think warm bodies are good.
So there's so many DDP changes this week. I've moved basically my entire midfield into defense this week. I've got defenders coming out of my ears right now. I've got too many defenders. So I don't know. For me, I personally don't. I'll be trading Williams, but I've seen other people holding him.
Yep. Damo, do you even have Williams? Are you trading? Are you holding? What are you doing?
He's pretty central to my trade plans this week. I've just swapped Matty Roberts into my defense so I can bring someone into my midfield. So I think there's options for people to move Zach Williams on, and his break even is pretty high. And if that Achilles is starting to cause issues for him, then it might be time to part ways.
Yeah, okay. We'll move on to Rookie Watch. Now, we've got a few on here. I put them from highest price to lowest price, boys. We'll go through them pretty quickly, though. So, for starters, we got Will Graham, 187K defender / mid, 73 average, break even of negative 45. What are your thoughts? Are you trading him in at this price, Peter?
I went early on him, so no. But at that price, I don't mind it. The role's there. And he's a tackling machine. I think it wasn't last week, but it was the week before. I think he had more tackles in the game than Hawthorne's entire midfield, or it was something like that. Something crazy. He had 14 tackles and Hawthorne's midfield had 13. So it was just, he's just a tackle machine. He gets the job done. He's one of those players that they go in for the contestant ball, while sort of like a Raul, but just not as good. That's how I look at him, because I watched him play the last couple of games and I'm impressed. I really like the kid. I think he'll do well, but I think the job security is there too. I love it. Yeah, I'd pay 187K for it, but this would be the last week.
Yeah. Damo, would you bring him in or nah?
If you missed out bringing him in at 117K, then this is probably your last week to jump on him if you need someone and if you didn't get him last week for whatever reason. But he's just a kind of player. He looks comfortable, I think, is probably the underlying thing that we need to, you know, say, because tackle machine looks comfortable in that Sun system. It looks like he was built for that Damien Hardwick game plan. So job security, I would agree with. But yeah, last chance to get him in at under 200K. And if you miss out from this week, you just let him go.
Yeah. Next one we got is Toby Conway from Geelong, 180K ruck, 73.5 average, minus 44 break even. Would you be bringing him into your ruck bench, Damo?
Hell no.
Hell no, Peter?
Yeah. Along those lines, but with a word that starts with F. Before the no.
No. Peter, this one's for you. Tyler Sonsi, 163K forward, 37.3 average, 14 break even. Considering all of the injuries going on at Richmond, would you consider him?
I really rate the kid. I was tempted to start him if he wasn't suspended, but I don't like the role he's currently playing in super coach wise. He's very reliant on kicking goals and he's not a large goal kicker. Although he has, I think he's kicked a couple of goals in his last couple of games, but not in his role. I think Hopper is a chance of coming back this week. Prestia was listed as a 1 to 3 weeker, but he's probably closer to the 3 weeks. So you'd probably see McAuliffe, who I think we might talk about later, get that role ahead of him. At half forward, nah, not Sonsi for me.
Damo?
Nah.
Nah. Here's one for defense. Will Hamill from the Crom, 144K defender, 40 average, 2 break even. I'm saying hell nah to this one. Like, it's like the Toby Pink scenario all over again, to be honest. You want a warm body in defense, but now we've got all these DPPs that have switched back there. You probably don't need to get a 144K defender. Damo, your thoughts?
I mean, you mentioned needing a warm body in defense, but I'd argue that he's not even a warm body. I'd argue he's just someone there. Yeah, no, 144K, not worth it. I know the price isn't too elevated, but even at higher than 123K, you're already stunting the cash growth, and he's just not really scoring like you'd want a rookie to score to, you know, have any confidence in fielding them if you need to.
Peter, thoughts?
I think I'm more confident. I think I'll be confident just keeping Coffee on my bench, to be honest. I'm going to wait for him to come back, I think I'd rather, but I can loop him
next year,
which is pretty handy. He might come back this year. You never know. Round 24, maybe. Grand final. No, I think he's done. But not at this elevated price. Tom Brown was around that price a few weeks ago. But Tom Brown actually looked like he looked really set in that role in defense, and he looks good. But Hamill, I don't see the job security there, so not for me.
Yeah. James Tunstall from the Lions, 124K forward, 41 average, minus 11 break even. Actually don't mind him, but it sounds weird. I'd want to see another game out of him, and I'm okay with paying an inflated price if he does go good. Damo, your thoughts?
Can he ruck? Because I think they need a ruckman this week.
I'm sure he can.
I'm kind of with you there. I'm not too sure that he'll escape the sub vest. I think he's in danger of the sub vest whenever he does play. So I'd need to see an embedded role from him before I jump on. And by that stage, I think it'll be too late. So probably not.
Peter?
With so many rookies that have burnt us on our bench, like I'm looking at my bench at the moment. I've got Manor, Livingston. I mean, he's a loop. Clark, you know, Caulfield, Reed. I don't think I can fit another guy that might get dropped by next week.
Yep, so fair enough.
A no from me.
We got Biggie Nguyen, 124K forward, 67.5 average, minus 64 break even. I think he's the one to bring in, but Clarko is starting to do a Bevo, and I'm not liking that. But I've gone early on Biggie, so yeah. What are your thoughts, Damo?
I've gone for someone else as my downgrade this week, and we'll talk about him in a couple names' time. But Callan Dawson's due back in a couple weeks, and I'm just not sure that they rate Nguyen ahead of him.
Yeah, fair. Peter?
I think Nguyen was beaten. Look, I like him. I remember when he made his debut. I was at his debut game for Richmond. I like him. But I think he was beaten by Chol last week. And his first game was great, and his second game was pretty ordinary. The job security isn't amazing. He might get DDP if he keeps staying in the side in round 12, which would be great. But I don't think I can bring in another North player. I've brought in so many. I think my side's North. If North Melbourne have a bye, I'm screwed. North Melbourne and Gold Coast, I'm in trouble. it's a no from me purely because he plays for North. And I've gone with someone else who we're talking about a little later on.
Yeah. His teammate Blake Drury, 124K forward, 58.5 average, minus 46 break even. Again, not liking it myself. Clarko being Clarko probably wouldn't surprise me if he drops Drury this week. I don't know. But Damo, what are your thoughts there?
Small forward at North Melbourne. Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, Peter?
Look, to be honest, I think we went a little bit... I think we went 12 months early on Drury. He actually looked all right. Not last week, but the week before. He looked pretty good. I watched the whole game and I thought, wow, he's actually put on a bit of size. He looks like he's meant to be out there now. Last year, he just looked raw. He was just not at AFL ready. He looks okay AFL-wise at the moment. I don't mind him. But I think there's another option who we're going to talk about who's better, unfortunately. If Drury was at his bubble next week, I would be considering it. But I think the next guy is just a better option.
Yeah. So you're going to hate me for this one, boys, but I'm going to say Hugo Garcia, 117K mid/forward, 56 average, minus 45 break even. There are rumors circling that he could potentially get dropped for Paddy Dow. Damo, your thoughts?
If it happens, it happens, but he came from the clouds to be in the mix for round one, and then he sort of made his debut kind of out of nowhere as well. And he's a tackling machine. He's almost like a smaller version of Will Graham in the sense that he just doesn't quite have the size on him, but he's kind of almost a very similar player to the way Will Graham is going about it at the Suns. And I kind of trust Garcia to stay in the team, even if they do make changes. Dan Butler already has to come out with a hamstring injury. So that's one change that they need to make. And knowing the Saints, they'll probably pop up with two or three more throughout the week. So until Garcia is not playing, he's the top option for me this week.
Peter?
I'm in the same boat. I think it was last week, the week before when he made his debut, I'm pretty sure he had the second most CBA attendance for St Kilda when he came on the ground, because he started as the sub. So when he came onto the ground, he was in amongst it. They threw him straight into that midfield. And then this week, I'm pretty sure he had he attended a lot of CBAs this week too. Give me a second. He attended
live podcasting.
Yeah, I know. He attended 13, right? Which is just under Marshall, Winhager, and Steele. So he was ahead of Seb Ross and Sinclair. I don't know, for someone that they're not relying on, but there's someone that they're trusting on to be in and amongst it that much, I can't see him being dropped. I just can't. But if he does, I guess I'm bringing in Blake Drury.
And the last one we've got in here for the ones either on the bubble or, you know, going to make us some cash, Kane McAuliffe from Richmond, 117K mid/forward, 37 average minus 7 break even. The reason why I wanted to put him on is, A, he's on the bubble, and B, I actually do rate him. I don't know if you guys know, but I like to watch state league stuff and whatnot, and McAuliffe was one that I was like, okay, I'm actually glad that he's getting a crack at it. I do feel like he's got a lot more to give, but it all depends on whether Hopper is back this week. And if not even that, if we might only get a couple of weeks out of him and then Prestia comes back. But knowing Prestia, dude could do a hammy and be out for the rest of the season and not even play. So I'll start with Peter, because you're a Tigers man. What are your thoughts?
I really rate the kid. There was a point in time at the start of the year, early in the preseason, we thought this kid was going to make his debut round one. I watched the first practice match live, and he's good. He's got ability. Absolute steal this year in the draft. Last week against, not last week, the week before, because last week was a bye, he actually had more CBA attendances than Dustin Martin. Okay, I mentioned that on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. He is highly rated, and I like the guy, but Hopper and Prestia are coming back soon. So Hopper might be back this week. Prestia might be back either the week after or the week after that. So his role is not safe. I would, as an M11, I don't mind it. I don't expect him to make over 100K, but he might be good, especially because, let's be real, Prestia is going to come back. He'll play a week or two, then he'll be out again with another hamstring or calf.
Yep.
So I think that McAuliffe will continue to get games, and maybe, fingers crossed, he might cover us for a bye or two. But I don't know. There's just a lot of other players that can come back in, and just he'll be taken out of that side. So I don't mind it. I am bringing him in this week in saying that. I am bringing him in. Yeah. But yeah, as my M11.
Yeah. Damo, thoughts on McAuliffe?
Yeah, I brought him in. I yeeted him when Riley Sanders was named as the sub. I just put him on my bench and thought, he'll be fine. He'll be in and out of the Richmond side. They love the kid. And you spoke about his state league numbers. Well, in six games, he averaged 143 Supercoach in his under-18s year. So he knows what to do with it once he gets it. He just needs the opportunity and a nice role. But yeah, on the bench, slow burn, 117K. There's not much more you can ask for. And we're getting to the stage where rookies won't really need to see the field unless you have an injury. So I think he's okay to jump on.
I like how you said you yeeted Sanders last week and put him in. I did the exact same thing, but with Hugo Garcia. Oh, shit. We'll chuck in a couple of one gamers. I'm going to give an honorable mention to Lekalier, but let's face it, he's not going to be in the Giants side, and he's overpriced for a guy that's going to play one game and then be out. So thanks, Lekalier, for your hand of God straight down the throat of Carlton players to then kick goals on you. Great stuff. One game is, we start with Jordan Sweet, 159K ruck, got a 68 minus 5 break even. I'm going to say there's no point in even considering him. Damo?
Nah, I think Charlie Dixon will be back this week, so that's probably the end of Jordan Sweet for now.
Yep, Peter?
To be honest, this pick gives me a bit of a sour taste, so nah, not for me.
Yep. Fair enough. Now, the one that I think we will be talking about and keeping another eye on is Riley Garcia of the Western Bulldogs. 125K forward, got an 82 in his first game, minus 33 break even. He's one to monitor next week. We're getting all these forward fucking rookies and shit, guys, but no defensive ones outside of Graham and friggin' Closey. So what are your thoughts on Riley Garcia, Damo? Good watch next week? Or this week even for next week?
Yeah, I'll be watching him. He playing against the Dockers at Optus in front of his family, WA boy. Ooh. I was actually watching the game where he did his ACL, and he was probably one of WA's best players in that game up until the point where he got injured. So he's had a real slow start to his career, but I reckon if he can get a bit of a crack in the Western Bulldogs side, there's every chance that we see a really good player emerge on the back of, you know, getting over his injury troubles. So he's someone that I've got my eye on for sure.
Peter?
Our forward line is we knew that it was going to be in shambles this year, but it is making us a lot of cash. You know, there's been a lot of good rookies to come into that forward line that, you know, guys like Reed, who might be a keeper, Cadman as well. You know, you got Darcy too. So I'm all for Riley Garcia making me a bit of cash in my forward line on my bench while, you know, I move everyone into defense and everyone into my midfield. My midfield defense and ruck line, loving it. My forward line is putrid. So I wouldn't mind trading a Cadman down. I think Cadman's about to peak. I think this is his last week, really. I think Berry's about to peak soon too. You could probably get a couple of weeks out of him. So Garcia is going to hit his bubble at the right time. So definitely someone to keep an eye out on for next week. So we've got Hugo Garcia this week and Riley Garcia next week.
Yep, agreed. So we'll go into trading options now, boys, and we'll start with the defenders. And the first one I've got here is Dan Houston, 598K, 115.3 average, break-even of just 79 and got a big 141 last round. The reason why is the man hasn't dropped below 105 so far this season, and he's got that really tasty round 13 bye where only Port Adelaide and Fremantle miss games. So he's a really good bye-covering player for all of those hectic-as buyers. I'm going to start with you, Peter. What are your thoughts on Dan Houston as a trading option this week?
I absolutely love it, honestly, because he's about to go against the team that concedes the most amount of points this season to halfbacks. And I can see him doing another, I can see him going another big 140 again at Marvel against the Saints this week. So I like it. I really do. The only thing is, how many, what bye did he have again? It was round 12?
Round 13.
Round 13. So you're going to get one, two, how many weeks do you get out of that? Man, sorry, quick maths. Not my strong side. One, two, three, four, five. Six. So you get six games out of him, and that includes North Melbourne. I really rate him. And he's below 600K as well still. So that's the other thing. We have to look at value at this point in time of the season. And if you're looking for a defender, Houston should be number one on your list.
Damo, you are itching to talk. I know it. What are your thoughts here on Dan Houston?
I started him, so I don't have to think about trading him in. I've just been riding him the entire season so far and just absolutely loving it. But Peter mentioned they give up the most points to half backs unless your name is Nazaia Wanganeen-Malera. Watching him last week itch his way to a 69 was one of the most painstaking Friday nights that I've ever had in Supercoach, because in D4, I thought he would do so much better.
Oh, I think Peter was saying that St Kilda concede monster scores to halfbacks? Yeah.
St Kilda concede a stupid amount of points to halfbacks, and it's fantastic to watch if you own players that are playing against St Kilda. I think it was Nick Vlosten, I'm pretty sure, scored that 170-odd against the Saints. Was it? I need to check that. I'll check that.
Most likely.
I mean... Yeah. I guess St Kilda can't concede points to their own half back. That makes a lot of sense.
And our first Amy Clanger of the week. Phase two. Don't worry, Tamo, not as bad as my freaking Dan Houston can't play at Optus, and then Pato saying, but they're not playing at Optus, Dane. And I was like, oh shit. Peter, what's up?
By the way, I was so wrong about Vlosten. He scored a 45 against the Saints.
Oh, we've got a double Amy Clanger.
Way off. I think I meant Luke Ryan said Nick Vlosten.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway, back to the job. We were starting off so well, boys, and then we hit the first primo defender, and we fuck up. How good. But anyway, Dan Houston is a great trade-in, and, yeah, I wish I had him. I was contemplating starting him. Didn't. And look, for anyone that wants to try and like start covering those buy rounds, Port Adelaide and Freo players are the best ones to try and start targeting. And yeah, we can look at some of those Port boys next week as well. Peter, you have your hand raised in the chat. I don't know if it's still there.
Sorry.
It's another clanger. Here we go. Next one we got is Nick Dacos, 577K, defender / mid, 111.2 average, break even 95, 133. He scored last round. So he had me shitting bricks early. I was lined up at Marvel Stadium trying to get into the Giants versus Carlton game, or technically Carlton versus Giants game. Don't want to talk about that. And I was watching and I was like, oh, fuck, man, this dude's stuck on 23. Then all of a sudden he's busted out to 133. So, yeah, look, I feel like people are still... I don't know his ownership percentage. It'd be like 70-odd percent or some shit still, wouldn't it, Damo? Something like that.
I haven't looked recently, but the people who didn't start him, it's probably around now you're looking to get him in.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Peter, your thoughts? Disco Dacos.
I think you can wait a week on Dacos, and the only reason I say that is because I think Houston is a better pick this week. Obviously, if you don't have Dacos and you have Houston, yeah, you can go for Dacos. But he does play against Carlton, who are a pretty restrictive midfield. So I don't know. I don't know about a thing. I think he could wait a week, personally. I think he'll wait a week, but he probably still will turn up. So,
yeah, fair enough.
I still think Houston's a better choice.
Yeah. People that started Elliot Yeo, he's now 575K. He's got midfield status as well, 114.5 average. Break-even's 59, got 112 last week. Look, is he past his injury woes? We don't know. He could break down at any fucking moment. But then again, any player can this season, I feel. It's just more so risk versus reward. If you started Yeo, you're a fucking good on you. You got big gonads. Eagles are flying right now, and he's got a 3-round average of 133. Peter, thoughts on Yeo?
I think you missed the boat. I'm sorry. I think you missed the boat. If you didn't pick Yeo at 150K more, like cheaper, you knew this is the kind of scores this guy could pump out. You didn't pick him for a reason, and that reason is still there. So why would you pay another 150K when that reasoning is still most likely there? I love seeing Yeo outside of Supercoach. I love seeing Yeo out and about. You know, guys like this is, you know, it's why you go and watch the footy. It's for players like this. You know, he's an amazing player and he's had a horrid injury run, but I just can't pick this guy because I know that it's not if he's going to break down, it's when. And I hate to say it, but it is the case. I would love to take a swing at Elliot Yeo, you know, in my final series. Maybe I've got a couple of trades up my sleeve. Last upgrade? Yeah, why not? But not right now. Nah, it's a no from me.
Damo?
He's the kind of player that you trade in, and then that's when he breaks down. It's just you know that as soon as you decide that he's 100% back, you'll trade him in, and then that's when the injury will come back. So yeah, no, I think if you started him, you could see into the future, or you were some sort of evangelistic thing. But I think you've missed the boat.
Yeah. We'll go on to Tom Stewart, 538K, 97.5 average, break even of 137, 62 last week. He misses this round. So this is more so where I'm just putting him on the run sheet because Peter wanted him on there. I was going to hold him off for next week. But it's good to keep in your mind now that you can get Tom Stewart at 538K essentially next week. He could even end up being a little bit cheaper the following week, but just keep it in your mind. Peter, do you want any further comment on that one?
The reason I wanted to bring it up is because it might change your strategy for this week. So if you're thinking of bringing in a defender like a Houston or a Dacos, don't, right? But then you're tossing up with maybe a midfielder like a Walsh, right? Who is still pretty cheap, who we're going to talk about later, most likely, then maybe you can hold off that defensive upgrade this week and go for a Tom Stewart next week and go for that midfielder this week. So I that's why I wanted to bring it up, because he's such good value. And if you're tossing up between those two players, well, then maybe let Houston slide a bit, wait for his bye, get him the week after his bye, and then you cover yourself for the next two buys, and then get Stewart next week, who's even cheaper. So I don't mind that strategy, that play as well.
Yep. Damo?
There's every chance that we can get Tom Stewart for under 500K. So, if the break-even stays at 137 for next week, that's not totally out of the realm of possibility for him. But I think, like Peter said, you can almost change your strategy into what you're doing this week and sort of kick that can down the road until Tom Stewart comes down to maybe what, 515K potentially. Imagine being able to get Tom Stewart for 515K and that completes your back line by that stage. That would just be an elite addition to your back line and would pretty much set you up for the whole for the rest of the season down there, as long as he can stay fit, which we know has actually been a little bit of an issue for him the last few years.
As we do on this podcast, we like to throw in some budget options or mid prices. So one of the ones that's been hotly discussed is Bailey Dale at 423K, 86.2 average, break even of 54. He got that big 175 last round, and that's why people are talking about him. But how much can we actually look into that score? Because Bevo's salad, it doesn't just go in midfield and up forward. It goes into defense too. So I honestly, I know his break even's 54, but I think he can wait a week. He's still going to be sub 500K. And if you start seeing that role as, oh yeah, that Bevo's finally moved the magnets permanently there, then yeah, I say take a punt, but I'd honestly wait a week. Peter, what's your thoughts on that one?
I mean, he had a really good game. Dale played fantastic. So who knows? He's probably going to be subbed this week. It's a definite no from me. I think I'm going for the rest of the season with one strategy, and that is avoid Bevo at all costs. No. Not from me. Too risky. Yeah.
Damo?
Just double-checking. Luke Beveridge is still the Bulldogs coach this week, because I'm not touching any Bulldogs player as long as that is the case. Unless their name sounds kind of like Bontempelli, I'm not touching any other Bulldogs player.
Okay, move on. Now, here's a bloke that I've been eyeing off, just monitoring the time on ground percentage and whatnot, and I messaged Peter before this guy got this 124. That's Jack Bowes at 410K. He's got defensive mid DPP, 88.3 average, break even of 6, and like I said, he got that 124. So he's a bit of a left field option. But I just want to break down these numbers for you. So his first game back, he had 22% time on ground and scored a 35 in his first game. Then his next two games were 70% time on ground for a 90 and a 104. And then last round just gone, he's upped his time on ground again to 74% for a 124. And he's in the CBA mix at Geelong. He's firing, and I just want to remind people that it wasn't that long ago that when he was at the Suns, his last season at the Suns, that we were predicting a breakout from Jack Bowes. And then he got traded over to Geelong, and even people were considering him last season, and then he had the injury woes. So I just want to put that on some people's radars. Lloydie is an avid listener as well, and he also pointed this out on Twitter, and I said, mate, have you been looking at my Supercoach inboxes because and my messengers, because that's all I've been talking about at the moment is Jack Bowes. So I want to get your thoughts, Peter, because I was talking to you about him first.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. The thing is he's another mid-pricer, and for me, I've taken aboard too many mid-pricers this season. Though I did have my eye on Bowes at the start of the year because his preseason, he actually looked pretty good in some of those practice matches, in those scratch matches, and he was getting a lot of CBA attendances in those practice matches. It looked like he was going to be in their main rotation. And then I think he copped a little bit of an injury at the start of the year, and he had that delayed start, and it looks like he is now got that role that he had during the preseason. So I can see why it's tempting you. And at 410K, I don't mind it. But you've picked up Jason Horne-Francis from memory. And can you really, I don't know, like, are you going to take two punts on these kind of guys, like, where they could be that, like, primo player? Or I don't know. Like, I like it. Don't get me wrong, I like it. And I think that if you've got everything right in your side and you're like, yeah, I can make a luxury risk, yeah, this is definitely the one to make. But I don't know. It's a pretty big risk. It's a pretty big risk. It's not for me. It's not for me because I'm still recovering from Max King. So it's a no from me, but I do like it. He looks good, and he's got talent. He's always had talent.
Damo, I know you're going to disregard it straight away, but let me know your thoughts.
To be honest, he wasn't really on my radar until you put it on the run sheet. So I've kind of had to have a look. It's just an awkward price. It is a cut price option for someone looking for a cheaper sort of reliable scorer, but I, to be honest, he wasn't on my radar, so I haven't really looked into him. But at the moment, it's a no, but it could turn into a yes with a bit more time if I was looking into it further.
Yep, fair enough. Now we're talking about the lack of downgrades in defence, like Will Hamill. So thought I'd chuck a cut price option into this. They're not quite a rookie price. They're not quite a mid-pricer slash primo. So it's Jace Burgoyne of Port Adelaide at 250K. He's got a 59.8 average. His break-even's minus 38 because his last two scores have been 93 and 88. And listeners of this podcast would know that Pato and I were talking about him and even starting him in preseason, but then something happened, blah, blah, blah. But Damo, you've also been looking into Jace Burgoyne, so I'm going to let you kick this one off. What are your thoughts on him?
It looks like he's got that halfback sort of wing kind of sweeper role for Port Adelaide, and I don't think the role's going to change anytime soon because their injury list isn't stacked with players that could return and knock him out of place anytime soon. So I think Kenny really wants him in the side. And I mean, getting his dad's number seven is probably another indicator that they see big things for him. And so he's played five games for the season so far. He was the sub in two of them. And in game one, he played more up forward than he is now. So He's going at about 0.9 points per minute playing that defensive sort of sweeper wing role. And to produce a 93 and an 88 with an injury list at Port Adelaide that doesn't look totally daunting, they're kind of humming along a little bit. They kind of fell asleep against Collingwood, but they'll bounce back. They're back at Adelaide Oval this week. But I think he's an option, and you'd be looking at him to produce kind of what you expected James Jordan or Jack Billings to do for you. So you're not expecting a quick money increase, but you're expecting him to outperform his price point, continually beat his break even, and possibly add another 100K onto his price to get to 350K. So it's an easier jump to someone that you're looking at upgrading to later down the track. And with the lack of downgrade options in defense, 250K is a little more to spend now, but it will just make your upgrade cadence a little bit easier down the track when he is ready to go.
Peter, your thoughts on Jace Burgoyne?
I don't mind it. The role looks good. I'm looking at his last game and he had 21 disposals, going at 81% efficiency, you know, ran primarily off half back, and he went across the wing into the forward a lot. I'm looking at his heat map. He kind of ran everywhere, to be honest. He looks good. He's always had talent, but for me, it's that price point. If we're assuming that everyone has Cloisi, I don't know how to pronounce his name, and Graham, then though, if you don't have those two are definitely the options you should be downgrading to. But if you're going down from a Dan Ambrosio or a Williams, you're not making that much cash. I just feel as if I'd rather be trading down to someone that is basement price, really making the most out of my cash, and then upgrading to a primo that I think is a guaranteed top line scorer, like a Petrarca, for example, than going for someone that might average 90 at best. I think it's okay. It's very team dependent, but I prefer the base and price rookies personally.
Yep. Speaking of Petrarca, we'll go on to the midfield. Oh, wait, hang on. No, Damo, what else would you like to point out there?
I should say I don't love the idea of trading in a Jace Burgoyne, but for people who won't have Stewart, have a bench of Caulfield and Reed, and are kind of in the deep end this week, I don't mind it, because there is also the very high chance that he outperforms his price point in the long run. So I don't think it's the best option, but it's something for people to consider if they feel their cash generation is stalled, if they're in a position where they need points on field and they've already got Graham, already got Closey. Burgoyne is a player that will probably outperform his price point and then make you some cash along the way, and then make upgrades a little bit easier as time goes on.
Peter, anything more to add to that?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I agree with Damo. It's very team dependent. If you're relying on, like you said, if you're relying on the score on field, I don't mind it then. But if you're looking for cash generation on your bench, like this is going to be the guy on your bench, I don't like it. It does depend on where you're expecting Burgoyne to play. That's what I want to add. You know, really team dependent. Look at your side. You know, who are you fielding? If you're fielding someone like I don't know, if you're still fielding like a Clark, then maybe go for someone like this if you can get him. But that's it. Yeah, team dependent.
We'll move on to midfielders. Peter, you just mentioned Christian Petrarca just before, so we'll start with him. 624K mid, 111.5 average, break-even of 157, and he didn't play last round because he had the bye, but he has Richmond this week who concede fucking massive scores to opposition midfield. So I think he's a great trading option. I think you'll both agree. All I want to know is, would it be crazy to think Petrarca could hit his high break-even this week, Damo?
not crazy. In fact, if you already own him, he's not a bad shout for vice captain.
Yep, yep. Peter?
I'm bringing him in. I'm bringing him in this week. I don't care what his BE is. I think he'll hit it against Richmond. It's just I don't know what it is. I like to bring a player in. When I upgrade to a primo, I want to upgrade to a primo either at a ridiculously low BE or just before he goes up against an opponent that I could think he's going to score massive against. He's playing the Tigers at the G on Thursday night, right? Which means that VC can be used really early, and you kind of know what you're going to get at the start of the week. I love it. I'm picking him. I'm backing him at 624K. I actually think that that's a pretty good price point. So even if he doesn't hit his break even, he goes 120, let's say, he's not going to drop that much in cash, and I'm still okay with the price point of 124. I actually think that's a pretty discounted price for a Christian Petrarca. I've looked at how he performs when he comes off a bye, and it's not too bad. His worst performance in the last, I went back in the last 4 years, is an 89. Okay. And that was against the Cats, and that was 2020. So he actually performs okay coming off a bye, and Richmond's midfield's depleted. If he's going up against someone like Kane McAuliffe, and I love Kane McAuliffe, but Christian Petrarca is probably going to get 3 Brownlow votes if he's going up against Kane McAuliffe. So I'm VCing him this week.
Yep, fair. Sam Walsh, 577K, 148 average. He's played those two games, break even of 33, and he got 130 against the Giants and absolutely tore the midfield a new one there. Doesn't look like his back's bothering him, but I feel like he's in the realm of it sounds weird saying he's in the realm of like Elliot Yeo, where you know that he's going to miss a few games here and there. What do you do? Do you bring him in and ride the wave like 11.2% of the competition is right now, apparently, as of right now? Or do you go with someone else that might be at a similar price from his team? Damo.
I'm bringing him in this week. They'll have to manage his back for the rest of his career, but it feels like he's on top of it at the moment, and I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be okay, and I'm not a fan of spending more than 600K on players that I'm upgrading to. Obviously, there are some exceptions, but I think you'll get similar results from Walsh as you will from Petrarca over the season as a whole. You might get a little bit more points from Petrarca first up trading him in this week with Richmond, but I don't think you'll miss out on too much going for Walsh instead if that extra 50K is just a bit too much for you.
Yep. Peter?
I'm in the same boat as Damo, to be honest. If I wasn't picking Petrarca, I would be picking Walsh. I think the injury risk is there, of course, but at 577K, the value is greater than the risk. He's also got a really good record against Geelong. He scored 126 in 22 and 158 in 21. So he's got a really good record against the Cats. I like it. I know a lot of guys are bringing him in. I've just got my eyes set on track.
Yeah, fair enough. One to consider is Sam Walsh's teammate and his captain, Patrick Cripps, at 572K, 112 average, break-even of 75, got a 142 going head-to-head against Tom Green last round. He's only had one sub-100 score, and that was in opening round where no one gave a fuck because it didn't count towards Supercoach. So, yeah, he's in POD territory because he's in only 4.2% of teams. So I actually don't mind if you've got a very vanilla team and you are trying to find a POD to try and get up a few places. I don't mind Patrick Cripps. We'll start with you, Peter. What are your thoughts on Cripps?
I actually put a tweet about him out during this game, and everyone ripped shreds through me. They did not like it at all.
Oh, really?
I like it. I like it. I got so many personal messages saying that was a terrible idea. But you know what? I like it. This guy was in all of our sides in 2022. That's not that long ago. Even last year, he was highly owned. He's not old. He's not old. He can pump out 142s all the time. He used to be in almost every side. No, I really rate Cripps. I think we've just forgotten about him because of that zero and, the round zero score. So, no, I like it. I like it. If you can't get that 5K to get Walsh, it's a pretty good option.
Damo.
Are we not concerned that Adam Chera returns in a couple of weeks?
Not really.
And you say he's only gone below 100 once for the season, and that was opening round when no one really cared. What if I flipped it the other way and said you're paying 572K for a player that's only gone above 110 twice? It kind of flips the script a little bit and sort of makes you go, do I really want to spend that kind of money on a guy whose ceiling might be capped? Obviously, he's had those big games with a 130 and a 142 along the way as well, but if I was going to go for a Carlton player, I'd go for Sam Walsh. I don't think finding that 5K should be too difficult for people. So for me, trading in Cripps is probably a no.
Fair enough. And the other one in the midfield that everyone's talking about right now is Jordan Dawson, 534K, 96.2 average, break even of 73, but he got that big 168 last round. So he looked back to his best there, but there's no Crouch. But would that even affect him? And is fucking Crouch even going to play? And he also has the ruse this week. So, Damo, what are your thoughts on Jordan Dawson?
If Matt Crouch comes back and he has another game where he scores another 120-odd or gets to above that, gets to a good sort of score with Crouch in the side, then maybe it's something to consider. But I need a little more convincing that he's back. And against North Melbourne, we might not get the full picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Peter?
This is the guy that everyone was talking about trading out for five straight weeks. Yeah. I can't back him after one good game. It was a great game. I watched it. It was a great game. He looked like he was on a mission. He was a man on a mission. He knew that he was under pressure and he stood up for the occasion. He was great. But I need to see him back it up, especially when you've got guys like, Walsh has had a couple of really good games in a row. When you've got guys like that, I think they're just a better option right now purely because Dawson's a great player, but he hasn't been in great form. So I'd like to see another week. And he'll go up in price, yes, but he's still going to be a bargain next week.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll quickly move on to the ruck line. So we'll start with Tim English, 611K, 111.7 average, break even of 177, and he got a 114 last round. So I've put him down because it's like the Tom Stewart side of things. Definitely a next week proposition. He has Freo this week, but then his run is Hawthorn, Richmond, and GWS. And look, I think he's not going to get anywhere near his break even this week against Freo. So he'll be under 600,000 next round, and then I think it's the time to strike. What are your thoughts, Damo?
As an owner, I've hated watching his price plummet, but if you don't have him and your ruck line is sort of spitting and spluttering a bit, then wait until his price bottoms out and jump on for sure, because I think aside from Bontempelli, he might be the only other player in Bevo's team that won't be touched for role.
Yep, Peter?
I have struggled watching him drop 100K since I bought him a few weeks ago. So, I thought he was going to stay. I thought he was going to stay higher than that, and that's been disappointing. But look, he's the only type. Just like Damo said, he's the only other player at the Dogs that I would be considering this year. The role's there. He's their best player for that role. He does have it. Fremantle will be a tough one. He's got to go up against Darcy and then Jackson when Darcy's resting. And then the Hawks, Meek has actually been historically a restrictive ruck, but in saying that, Zeri had a pretty good game against him. Nankervis is a pretty big matchup too. Yeah, he's definitely going to be below 600K, but should still score all right over the next few weeks.
Yeah, this is a humble brag, boys. Humble, humble brag. Brady Grundy, 542K, 112.3 average, second highest averaging ruckman in Supercoach right now. Break even of 59, and you got a big 158 last round as a man that started him and was contemplating trading him out when he had his bye, but then didn't, because I'm like, you know what? It's fucking Brady Grundy. It wouldn't surprise me, and I'm pretty sure I said it on this podcast, if he comes out and then just absolutely kills it after his bye. First game back after his bye, 158. Thank you. I feel good now. So is he a trade-in option, though? That's what I want to discuss. Damo.
If you traded him out and now you're considering trading him back in, no. You don't trade someone out and then trade them back in. I know there's situations where someone gets injured, they miss 12 weeks with an ankle injury, and then their price bottoms to about 430K, and then you look at them again. But this is different. You've traded someone out, and now you want them back because they're scoring well. It's kind of, if you were going to keep, if you wanted to keep him, then you should have kept him through his soft patch. But if you want to trade him in and you didn't start with him, I don't mind it.
Cool. Cool. Peter.
I think it was the West Coast game that put most of us off. Yeah, we had Ruckman just absolutely smashing Williams in the ruck. And then Brody Grundy scored like an 89 or something. And I think that's when everyone, including myself, thought that he'd, that's it. He's peaked. He's done. Awesome. He's done his job. Let's move him on to the next best thing. So watching Rowan Marshall score a whopping 51 this week, it's the guy that I traded in for Grundy was painful. But I agree with Damon. You can't bring him in if you've already traded him out. I won't be bringing him in. I still think the reasons I traded him out were still valid. He had a great game. We always knew he was going to have great games. Anyone that traded him out, if you honestly thought that he was not going to have another great game for the rest of the year, you were lying to yourself. But I think that all of the people that did trade him out were kind of hoping that that really great game would happen in a few weeks' time, not the week after we traded him out. So I think it just hurts more because of the timing. But if you didn't start Grundy, I don't mind it. You know, if you started a Cherry, or maybe you started, maybe you jumped on Meek and, he might price out soon. I don't mind going Meek to Grundy in a few weeks. I still think Grundy can be a top 3-4 player. But when you got guys like English and Gorn, and I'm going to put Marshall there too, I think they're going to be the top 3 comfortably. So I would prefer to pay up and get one of those guys. And Marshall had that 51, so he's going to be dropping price as well. You know, you got English coming down in price. You're probably going to get them for roughly the same price as Grundy anyway.
Yeah. You mentioned Tristan Cherry, so we're going to bring him up. He's 516K, 109.2 average, break-even of 60. He also got a big 144 last round, and he's in just 11.5% of teams. And he's still pretty fucking good value. So he's had 4 out of 6 of his games have gone over 100, and his 2 sub-100 scores were 90 and 91. So his floor is amazing. So, Damo, would you still consider, if you didn't have any of those guys, would you still consider Tristan Cherry?
For 516K, yes. But with North not really, being a football team at the moment, how much can you trust Cherry to continue doing this? How long until Clarko decides to bring him in, to bring in some proper help and sort of expand his role a bit more that might affect his scoring? That's the only question marks that I have for him.
Yeah, and I feel like everyone's ruck lines are already complete anyway. Peter, Tristan Cherry?
North traded out Goldstein for a reason, and that is to give Cherry game. I don't think his role is under threat. If you started him, great. You did fantastic. There was a period of time he was in my team, and then I stupidly traded him out for Grundy, I suppose. So it worked out in a way. But Cherry, I like it. But again, it's the same thing as Grundy. Why are we jumping on Cherry when we know he's not going to be a top line ruckman? You know, you've got, super coach wise, you've got guys like English Marshall that are coming down in price. You know, Gorn is still pumping out huge scores. They're the guys that you want, because Cherry's going to pump out 110 most weeks, you know, between 100 and 110. And then you're going to have English that's going to go 130, 140 against some team. You know, your Marshall goes again, 147 against Richmond a few weeks ago, you know. And then you're going to be spewing, and you wish that you paid up a little bit extra for those guys. I just think that you may as well get the Uber Primos. The value pick was more valuable at the start of the year.
Yeah. I will move on to the forwards, and we'll start with your boy, Peter, Shay Bolton, 557K. His DPP forward / mid, 99.8 average, break-even of 56. He had the bye last week. He's got a sexy three-round average of 127 and looks as damaging as ever. The question is, will we see an increase in midfield minutes, or will it be more forward time given Hopper is coming back and Presti is not far off? As the Richmond man, Peter, what are your thoughts?
Bolton's scores are very heavily reliant on him kicking goals. Even when he is in that midfield swing, his average games come when he scores those. Like, as a Richmond fan, I've seen him kick 1-5, 1-4 way too many times, and he misses a goal from directly in front because he wanted to kick it over his shoulder and wanted to make it look cool, and then it hits the post. He is that kind of player. But also, he is definitely our best player when he's on fire. So you just don't know which Bolton you're going to get. I love the guy. I think that he's our best player. When he's on, we're on. And his last three games have been insane. And I think I was talking earlier about it. Before we started recording, he's got a really good record against Freo, who he's got coming up soon. He's got a decent record against Melbourne too. But I think when he played the Eagles, that was the week to bring him in. I think we'll all end up with Bolton in our team with slim pickings in the forward line. He is definitely a top six forward, but I think there are other players at that price point, like a Walsh, who's only a little bit more expensive, or even a Dawson, who you're probably going to get a more reliable score out of, rather than those, you know, he'll score 120 one week and then 20 another week because he decided to give away 350-meter penalties and kick a few behinds. So I love him. I'm definitely going to put him in my team. Not this week for me.
Damo?
No notes. I agree with everything that Peter said there. he's going to be in my team eventually. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, I don't want to put this guy on the run sheet because he gives us Danes a bad name, but Dane Zorko, 547K, 108.7 average, got a break even of 66, got a big 130 last week. We keep mentioning him even though we don't want to. But on my notes, I put down age and being a flog aside, he's scoring freaking well. That halfback role is just his. And yeah, I don't want to talk about him anymore. Damo, good choice, bad choice. What are your thoughts?
He's in my team, and he can be a flog all he likes as long as he keeps scoring 130s. That's fine by me. Just I'm playing super coach. I'm not coaching a football team. I need good scores in my side, and Dane Zorko is producing good scores. I'm just pretending the man that's on the field is not the man producing. Is not the little square in my team, and I can separate that. And Dane Zorko, good for scoring, not good for culture.
Yeah. Peter?
I agree with both of you. I think last week I thought that, you know, maybe he had a few spike games. I know that he can score well in this position. and it looks like it is his position. So I do like the pick. But for me, I'm just, my forward line is probably going to be the last thing that I complete. So I'm just going to wait it out. Hopefully he has a 60 at some point. It can come down a little bit in price, but I just think that there are other players at that price point that are better in other lines. So yeah, we're getting a top six forward most likely, but you know, a top six forward versus like a Dawson that can go 168. I just think that there's more that potential value in a Dawson at that price point. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. Now, here's a guy I'm considering, and I know you boys have said that you don't want to touch any blokes that aren't Bontempelli or English from Bevo's side. But I'm going to consider this guy Jack Montempelli. It's Jack McRae. At 480k, he's got forward mid status, 76.5 average, break even of 64. He got a 123 last week. Now, I really want to break this down for people because he only had the 10 CBAs, but he seemed to have got the blend right. And Bevo, I know we don't like to trust Bevo's comments, but he came out in a press conference saying, look, McRae did all these things right. We seem to have got the blend right with him up forward and in the middle. Just want to point out, everyone's talking about Libba coming back and they want to see what McRae's like with Libba. Well, Ed Richards took literally all of Libba's CBAs, so there's no danger there. He had like 22 or 23 CBAs, Ed Richards. He's going back to the wing or defense. I think Jack McRae at 480k, good rhyme, is too hard to ignore for me. People will probably say wait a week and they're happy to pay over 500k for him. I wouldn't be happy paying 500k plus for a bloke that's in Bevo's team, but I'm more than happy to pay 480k for him, especially for a bloke that everyone, before all of this shit happened, had locked away at F1 before, yeah, Bevo decided that McRae's not going to be in his plans and before McRae had the niggles. So, Damo, your thoughts?
I just don't trust Luke Beveridge. I don't care what he says in a press conference. I need results. And that result could be Jack McRae being the sub against Fremantle, and I don't want that. So it is at 480k, he is tempting, and he looked really good against the Saints. But to be honest, they all did because the Saints were crap. So I can't yet. I don't trust Luke Beveridge, and I don't trust Jack McRae to stay in that position.
Peter?
I brought McRae in last year after those back-to-back 140s, and then he didn't get anywhere near that ever again. I know that Ed Ridges took the Libba's CBAs, but Libba's back, which means that I know that Ed Richards took the CBAs, but does that mean that he now takes Jack McRae's CBAs? I know that they unleashed him in the midfield, but this guy played VFL only 4 weeks ago and was the sub 3 weeks ago. He's only really played two full games, and the last one was an 89, and this one was a 123. And 123 is good, don't get me wrong, but is that his best score for the year? In this kind of role, it could be. Not while Bevo's still at the Dogs.
No, fair enough. Now, the last one we got here is a guy that I just couldn't ignore. And I just wanted to chuck him on. And that's Jake Waterman, 464K, 93.8 average, break even of negative 18. That is correct, negative 18. And he got a 107 last round. So the reason why I put him in, he got that big game of 176. And then he also got the 107 last round. And coincidentally, they're in two of West Coast wins. So everyone's focusing on Harley Reid at the moment and how he's been performing ridiculously well, and that's why West Coast are winning. I actually think a lot more credit needs to go to Jake Waterman. And this bloke he's had a few role changes in his career at West Coast, and he's finally looks like he's settling in as that big frickin' lump of fucking muscle up forward that's just he can throw motherfuckers around. And yeah, he's got the Suns this week, and I just wanted to put him in because I was like, fuck man, if a dude's pumping out a 176 and a 107 and no podcast wants to mention him, I want to mention him on here. Damo, your thoughts?
Yeah, they'll probably put Sam Collins on him this week, the Suns. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes against probably a first string key defender. I don't know if he's had that player on him for an entire game yet. So it'll be interesting to see how he pans out. And do you grab him as kind of in the same vein as what you picked up Jesse Hogan for at the beginning of the season if you had that strategy? Because Oscar Allen is still 6 to 8 weeks away. He's probably going to have that role until Oscar Allen returns. Could you hold on to him for that long and ride that kind of price jump into the mid 550s? It's not a big, it's kind of a large investment. So I wouldn't endorse it, but there is certainly a strategy involved for people with the balls to do it.
Peter doesn't want me to mention this name, but it's given me Max King vibes at the same time.
All the flashbacks. The PTSD has just kicked in. yeah, it does. It really does, doesn't it? I couldn't because of Max King. But I could see a world where the people make a quick 100K out of him. The only thing is he goes up against the Suns, okay? Now, his last few scores have been great because West Coast have actually been pretty good. They took Sydney all the way a few weeks ago. They actually looked at one point late in the game that they could beat Sydney, and then they smashed Richmond, and then they went out and smashed Fremantle. So the only way you think that he's going to make the 100K is if West Coast can keep this up for a fourth week against the Suns. In saying that, Waterman's last score against the Suns was a 32 last year. So, which, by the way, would still make you a decent amount of cash if he scored, because he's negative 18, so you're okay there. But then he's got Essendon too, so I don't mind a two-week play, to be honest. No from me, but if you didn't make a Max King decision earlier in the year, then I don't mind it.
Can I just say I picked this mofo up in draft off the free agency pool, and I have been laughing. We'll go to question time. Anyway, most of them have got answered, so I'm just going to ask the ones that, actually, no, I'll just ask them all, but we can brush over them if we've already answered them. First of all, we got Scobie from the Supercoach Hub says, who is the most useless coach, Nix or Bevo? And in terms of being stuck in their own mindset, not Supercoach related, still Bevo in my, actually, ooh, yeah, no, still Bevo for me, but Damo.
Stuck in their own mindset? Matthew Nix. Only because I've seen Adelaide fans like correctly predict team changes every week after every loss and every tactical change all like throughout everything. Just he's stuck in his own ways, Matthew Nix. I think Bevo's more, you kind of can tell what magnets he's going to throw around, but you don't know where that magnet's going to end up. So I don't think he's stuck. So I think they're both stuck in different ways, but Nix is more stuck in a way that you can set your clock to.
Yeah. Peter?
I agree. Probably Nix. I think that midfield was not working for so long, and people were crying out for someone like Rankin to get a go in that midfield. I was too while I had him. And then it just happened so late. I found him a little bit more frustrating than Bevo this year, which is strange to say.
Same. I want Laird back in with all those CBAs. I'm crying on the inside. Two of our highest ranked listeners have messaged in. So first one's Lloydie. He said, feel like my trade strategy through the buys has paid off with a monster score this week. Plan was to fix some dead rookies on the bench this round before coming into best 22. However, if I trade out Pink, I won't have a loophole this week. Is it okay to hold a dead rookie bench in defense, Reed and Pink, for one more week? Damo, I'm going to cross to you on this one, because I think we've mentioned Pink and Reed, or even Caulfield and Reed a few times here.
I think you should be aiming to have as many green dots in your team as possible. If you miss out on a loop because you've got 30 players playing, I don't think that's such a big disaster, because it means you've got a healthy team. It means your team's in better shape than most others. So I think if you want to hold the loop because you think there's many options that could, you know, go large and don't want to miss out on a great captaincy score, then fine. But I don't think you should worry about not having a loop.
Peter?
I think it depends who you're going out for. I wouldn't be making a trade from Pink to Hamill, for example. Just forcing it, I don't think that a forced trade is the right way to go either. I would only be bringing in a rookie if you think that he can hold his position and actually make you some cash and score okay for you as a bench option. Because just trading someone in because they've got the green dot, I just don't like that either, because then they could be out in a week or two anyway. So for me, it depends who you're bringing in, and I just don't see many defensive options outside of Kloisi and Graham that are actually worth bringing in this week. So I think that the loop is more important this week, purely because of the lack of players that you could bring in for that defensive spot.
Fair. We'll go on to the next one. So another one of our top 1K listeners is Tate. He's also one of your listeners too, Pete. So he mentions you and your podcast and YouTube in here. So he starts off saying, "Condolences to Paddo and family. Thoughts are with you. I wanted to thank you blokes this week for the years of insight and help. I've reached my best ever overall of 613. I don't know if it will continue as I'm still burning through trades." Tate, stop. He goes, "Anyway, like I asked Nerds for Life, how many trades you got left? And thinking of skipping popular pick Walsh due to a poor round 14 by team spread in favour of hope return to form Dawson. Thoughts?" Oh, well, how many trades have you boys got each left? And we'll say after you've done your trades this round. So if you're considering doing two, then just minus two from it. So I'm looking at 28 or 27 trades remaining, depending on... I've got to flick through a few things and see whether I'm going to use one of my boosts or not. Peter, what about yourself?
24 after my trades this week.
24? Damo? 24.
I'm in the same boat as Peter.
Yeah, okay.
I went a little aggressive this year because last year I held off quite a bit. So I went for a little bit of a different strategy this year throughout the buys. And I've actually, because I had a putrid first game, first round. It was my worst start in I don't even know how many years. I actually went back and I realized that my app, it was the worst start that I've had under this profile. But I've really clawed my way back really quickly. So sort of depends on where you're sitting, Tate. I know that Damo's been holding his boosts, though. He's going to have boosts up until finals.
Yeah, I've been... Shit, how many boosts do I have? I think I got three boosts remaining. So my plan personally was to hold on to three boosts, if not two, and use them through the actual next lot of buys. So when everyone's doing three trades, I was actually going to try and do four. But that strategy might slightly go out the window if it means that I can get two primos in this week. If not, I'll just do the two trades myself. So the other part of Tate's question, he was looking at skipping Walsh because of the round 14 buy in favor of Dawson. What are your thoughts, boys? I'll start with you, Peter.
So skipping Walsh
for Dawson because of the buys.
Because of the buys. If it fits your buy structure, then I would do that.
I would honestly target Port and frickin' Freo players.
Yeah, target Port and Freo players as much as possible, you know.
And there is one Port player that's going to be under 600K very shortly, and that is Connor Rosie. For anyone listening right now, which I'd assume you would be, because why are we talking? Damo, what are your thoughts?
I'm just, for the reasons we spoke about earlier in the podcast regarding Dawson, the midfield mix, Matthew Nix, I'm not convinced on Dawson yet to skip someone who's probably got a role and a cemented role. But if you think he's back, if you're confident in the pick, if you're confident in it, then go for it. I'm not though.
Yeah, fair enough. And then we got Liam. He said, "Oh, here we go. Oh, yep, Peter."
Oh, I just wanted to touch. I just wanted to add to that Dawson pick. I still don't think personally Dawson's a trade in yet. I would like to wait another week, like we discussed earlier. But again, I still think buy structure is really important. And if you're going to be bringing in a player, don't bring in too many players that are on the same buy. I think the Gold Coast, whoever, I think the Gold Coast and Carlton have the same buy this year. And I think it's West Coast do as well, as all three of them. So if you've got the Giants, if you've got guys like Green, McGovern, Yo, and then, you know, Rowell, Miller, Flanders, Walsh, you're in trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. So yeah, if it's not Dawson, it's got to be someone that's going to fit your buy structure.
Yeah. And I can already tell you now, we're talking about Connor Rosie next week. So keep him in your trade plans for next week, if not the week after. Liam says, not sure what to do with Zach Williams. He could still make money, but I can get him to Walsh this week, thinking that's probably the play. Then trade out Karmas and Darcy in the next couple of weeks. Also, could Bailey Dale be the potential backline POD, or can we not trust Bevo? Well, for starters, I think everyone's agreed we can't trust Bevo, even though I'm a bit of a YOLO there with McRae. The Zach Williams to Walsh play. I think if you can get Walsh in for Williams and you're covered on your defensive bench, fine. Go for it. Damo, what are your thoughts?
I have to endorse it because I'm doing exactly that.
Peter?
I'm going Williams to track, but I'd be going Williams to Walsh if I wanted Walsh over track.
Yep, fair enough. All right, well, we are not called the Supercoach co-captains for nothing. Every week, we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. We've got an early game this week, or games. And I just want to point out part of the reason why I asked Peter onto this podcast, one, he's a very insightful man, but two, he's fucking nailing his VCs and Cs this year, and I thought this segment he'd come into his own. So, Peter, I'm going to start with you Wednesday, because it's your team, Richmond versus Melbourne at the MCG. Give us some of your VC options in this one.
I really don't want to jinx it, but I'm doing okay. I think I'm averaging a 148 from my captain scores this year so far across the six rounds. So I'm pretty happy with it. Now that I've said that, you know, Track's going to go out there and score a 30, but I love Petrarca. I'm bringing Petrarca in for this game. I think that he's going to be a top eight mid. I know that he's on a slightly elevated price, but I still think that he's at a good price. I'm bringing him in for this game. VC, Petrarca. If you haven't gone, I don't mind it, but Nan Curvis is actually a pretty good ruckman that everyone forgets about.
Yeah, I like the Gorn and Petrarca calls myself. I don't really like anyone from Richmond. Damo?
Yeah, Gorn stands out to me just because I own him, but I said earlier that Petrarca would be a really good vice-captain option if you were trading him in or if you're already an owner. So those two guys are probably the only two that I would go with out of that game.
Yeah, I'll move on to Thursday.
You know who we forgot about? Sorry, you know who we forgot about?
Who?
Larry. Could this be his comeback game? Could this be the week that he just pumps out a 200 out of nowhere?
Well, I wouldn't be mad about it. He's coming back from that thumb surgery, so will he actually play against Richmond's another question. Damo?
We didn't forget about him. We just chose not to mention him on purpose.
Fair enough.
He's another one that we're going to be eye-fucking for the rest of the season to find out when he's actually going to come good again. But I feel like Oliver's going to be a next season proposition. Everyone will have him like 70% or something of the comp will. Anyway, Thursday, Anzac Day. We got the two Anzac games, the main one, which everyone watches, Essendon versus Collingwood. I feel like it's a Merritt versus a Dacos one, this one. But I really want to see Darcy Parrish play himself back into actually being a consideration for people to trade in weeks to come. So if you're a random person with Darcy Parrish as a real left fielder, I don't mind it. But, yeah, Merritt and Dacos for me. Damo, your thoughts? Who you got?
Yeah, Merritt and Dacos are probably the top two options out of that game. If it's a VC and you're going for ceiling, you could potentially put the VC on Nick Martin if you've got some balls the size of melons. But, yeah, Dacos, Merritt, probably the top two options out of that game.
I don't really like to close down, do they, Collingwood? Peter?
So Merritt's gone 133, 133, or 123 against the Pies. So for me, it'd be, yeah, Merritt and Dacos. What's Dacos' last, actually? I'm just going to check real quick. Sorry, just going to check.
Live. Whoa,
145 last year.
Yeah.
One there. That ceiling's there. Yeah, those two. You just got to go one of those two.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we got the Giants versus Brisbane that night at 7:35 p.m. at Manuka. So you have the Tom Green fan club stand going at Manuka. So this one's an interesting one. I'm not entirely sure I like too many in this, to be honest, because I think there's better VC options out there. Can Tom Green play himself back into a big score? I think yes. Other than that, Josh Dunkley's kind of been a bit underrated this season. Don't know if he's got that big ceiling anymore, but wouldn't surprise me. Damo, thoughts?
No one from this game really, really tickles my fancy. Tom Green doesn't even have a good record against Brisbane in the first place, so I wouldn't be comfortable putting any captaincy armband on him of whatever colour against Brisbane, so I'm just skipping this game altogether.
Peter?
If you've got Neil, I don't mind it. He did score a 164 a couple of years ago against the Giants, so I don't mind it. It'd be an interesting shout, Briggs. I think Briggs could have a really good... Yeah, this kind of matchup...
Yeah.
I actually think Briggs might actually score okay. So if you were one of the people that did start Briggs and still have Briggs, like, yeah, maybe because I've got him in my draft league, I don't mind this as a sneaky VC for the week.
Yeah, right. I'll move on. Friday, Port Adelaide versus St Kilda. If you got Dan Houston, chuck the VC on him. If you got Zach Butters, fuck, chuck the VC on him. Jack Steele, yeah. No, I like Butters and Houston better. Damo, thoughts? Who you got?
I'd back Jack Steele to have a bounce back game. I think he could go back to scoring, what was it, 130s that he was scoring earlier in the year. I'd happily back a bounce back and put the VC on Jack Steele.
Yeah. Peter?
I'd be sticking the VC on Houston in this game. Butters actually doesn't have a very good record against St Kilda. I've just looked at his last three, and it's pretty bad. But maybe a Rosie for a bounce-back game, actually. He killed it a couple of weeks ago, so wouldn't mind a Rosie bounce-back as well.
Do you think Windhager goes to Butters?
I think he would. I think he goes to Butters over Rosie, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what's caused their Butters' average scores over the last few games against the Saints.
Yeah, fair. Saturday, we got North Melbourne versus Adelaide. Now, I'm fucking hoping that Rory Laird pulls his finger out and goes 130 or some shit, even over 120. I don't know. Do something. It's been two subpar scores, but do something. It's like that kid with the stick is poking the fucking dead animal. Anyway, who you boys got in this one, Peter?
If I had to pick someone, it'd probably be Laird. To be honest, it's just North Melbourne. I could see most Adelaide players scoring pretty well in this game. Dawson again, he looked really good. If he plays anywhere near that, he's going to score 300. without the captain double. But yeah, no, nah, I don't think anyone from North. I wouldn't be picking anyone. LDU's got a decent record against Adelaide, though, but I wouldn't be going to him. Yeah, anyone from Adelaide.
I'm going to point out the Sheasel comments by Alistair Clarkson saying that he might fast track him into the midfield or mid/forward sooner rather than later. And now people are starting to shit themselves. Yeah, Peter?
Is that a good thing?
We don't know.
Yeah, because like I remember Short was put into the midfield a couple of years ago. We all thought, yes, Short's going to do amazing. And then he just did nothing in the midfield. Like he just, it wasn't, like super coach wise, it wasn't great. Doherty was moved to the midfield. He still scored well, but it wasn't like when he was in defense. It doesn't always equal more points. So that's, I don't know. That actually worries me.
That's my point. That's why I said people are shitting themselves.
Yeah, not happy. Not happy.
Mm. Damo, anyone in this game?
No, this one is another game that I'm probably avoiding, to be honest.
Yep, no, fair enough. All righty. We'll go to Geelong versus Carlton. If you have any of, I don't know why you'd have Kerno, but if you have Harry Mackay or Kerno and you got the VC and you're comfortable with doing a VC in this, I'd fucking do it. If I had either one of them, I can see one of those guys going absolutely fucking boonanas and getting like a 180 or some shit. If not Sam Walsh. Damo, your thoughts. Who you got?
Yeah, Sam Walsh. Geelong don't have a remarkably strong midfield. It's not super defensive either. So Sam Walsh, even Patrick Cripps, if you decide to pick him up for a little bit cheaper, he's another one who you can stick the VC on just in case. I actually do know someone that owns Charlie Kerno, and it's not been fun ride for them. But yeah, Sam Walsh is probably the main one out of that game. But not a lot of other choices.
Peter?
If you can't spare the 5K, I don't join Patrick Cripps, to be honest. But if you can, Walsh.
Yep, fair enough. Okay. Frio versus the Western Bulldogs. Oh, this has got Damo's suggestion written all over it here. So his favourite team going up against his favourite coach. What are your thoughts, Damo?
I actually kind of like Caleb Sarong in this game. Just Bulldogs, Sarong's had a tag the last couple of weeks or a run with role. I wouldn't call it a tag, but I think against the Western Bulldogs, he's more likely to get off the chain a bit. And I don't mind him as a VC option, but only as a VC option. I'd like to see the score before I have to lock it in.
Would you consider a Luke Ryan in this one? Luke Ryan bounce back game for a VC?
Probably not. The Bulldogs have a really tall forward line. So I would imagine Luke Ryan would have to probably play a little more lockdown and a little less rebound. So I wouldn't be comfortable putting a VC on Luke Ryan in this game.
Yeah, fair enough. You're not stressed with a Bontempelli in this one, Peter?
Bont went 182 last year against Freo. So that is exciting as a Bont owner. I don't like English in this game purely because he's going to have to go up against both Darcy and Jackson, and he didn't do well when he had to go up against Draper and Goldstein a couple of weeks ago. So I think he'll have a tough game. I'm hoping that he just like hits 100. But I really like Bont in this game. But just like Damo said, Sarong has a great record against the Dogs. He went 138 last year and 130 in the two games he played. And that was at Optus Stadium and Marvel as well. So he's had a mix amount of – he was performed well in both grounds. So, if you were to pick a VC from this game, it would have to be either Sarong or Bont.
Yeah. Move on to Sunday's games, and this is where I think the captains just really fucking fly off. We got Suns versus West Coast, which is weird saying that it's 11th versus 14th, mind you. So they're at People First Stadium. Yeah. I'd feel dirty saying it. Can we actually consider Harley Reid? I want to say Peter.
Look, if you happen to not have, let's just say you burnt your VC and for whatever reason you don't have anyone playing for Hawthorn or Sydney next week and you've missed out on Miller, Anderson, Rahal and Flanders, yeah, screw it. Put the C on Harley Reid.
And no Yo.
And oh Yo. You've just missed. You know, if you're in that position, you're having a really average year, so I feel sorry for you. But yeah, you know, maybe just pack up and start again next year. But honestly, yeah, why not? I don't mind it. His last few games have been pretty sick. I don't mind it. But no, absolutely not. gotta be Matt Rowell.
Yeah,
it's gotta be Matt Rowell. Matt Rowell was just, look, he's got 137, 155, and 99, but then he went 129, 135, and 126. He is in insane form at the moment. Mm-hmm. You have to pick, honestly, if Petrarca does nothing, I've currently got the C on Matt Rowell.
Fair enough. Damo?
It's been covered pretty much. Yeah, Rowell's the one to go for. I would not touch Harley Reid.
Okay, and the last game, we got Hawthorn versus Sydney. And honestly, I thought Isaac Heaney was a bit underscored last round. For those that actually did captain him, I feel bad. But I feel like he's going to bounce back in this one and just go absolutely crazy. Your thoughts, Peter?
Yeah, Isaac Heaney for me. Even if Parker's back, I don't think it's going to make a difference. The guy's in Brownlow form.
Yep, Damo?
I'll echo that. Go Heaney.
Yep, I dream of Heaney. Sweet. So, boys, what are your Twitter handles or ex-formerly known as Twitter handles? I'll start with you, Peter.
Mine is Nerds, the number 4, Life SC. So, Nerds for Life Supercoach.
And do you have any, like, YouTube channels or anything like that that you want to plug, Peter?
Yeah, so I'm on YouTube. I'm on Tickety Talk. I'm on X. I'm on Facebook. Instagram, literally all of them. So I've got a weekly podcast as well. I'll probably be recording tomorrow night now because I'm tired. I've talked way too much about Supercoach for one day, though I could probably record my episode. But yep, so I'm on all of those and you can catch me on Spotify this year too.
Yep. And Damo, your Twitter handle and all of the other things that you want to plug as well.
Yep. So my personal Twitter handle is @DamoSC. I have a YouTube channel, which I am somewhat neglecting, but it's Damo Supercoach. I just go through my team every week and tell you my trades and my captains and then leave you with it. I don't really go through much of my tactics. Leave that for the Footy Mailbag podcast that I co-host with McClarkey. You can reach us. We only interact with our fans the Boom Away. We only have Facebook and Twitter, and then we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you consume your podcasts, we're there. Our episodes are pretty much every Wednesday night, ready for your Thursday morning drive to work.
Okay, so from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
I'm Peter.
I'm Damo.
And this is us signing
the fuck off.
Fuck cancer.